Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar and Dei Maseches Gittin Daf Mem Hey, the fourth parak Hashaleach. The Zichu Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zeicha Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the details we're going to focus on are when the Gemara relates an incident where a slave once fled from his master who lived in Chutz Lartz to Eretz Yisrael. When the master came to bring him back, Rabbi Ami told him to free him and the slave would pay his value because he could not force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. This is based on a drasha of Rabbi Yochanan bar Rabbi Yoshe. The pasuk says, "Utasker eved el adonav asher yinatzel eilecha mi'im adonav." You shall not hand over a slave to his master, a slave who escapes to you from his master. After a brisa relates two Tanaim's interpretations, Rabbi Achim Rabbi Yoshi explains, Be'evet shabark m'chutz l'aretz l'aretz akas medaber. The pasuk's discussing a slave who fled from chutz l'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, teaching not to return that slave to his master in chutz l'aretz. Another brisa records Rebbe's interpretation, Be'okeach evet almanas l'shachar akas medaber. The pasuk speaks of one who purchases a slave on condition to free him and commands the buyer not to enslave him. The case is explained to the Kasev Echachi that the buyer wrote to him, when I buy you, you are acquired to yourself from now. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ein ponis hashvuyin yasya kadeh demen. One cannot ransom captives for more than their value, b'nei tiguna olam, for societal benefit, either to avoid the financial burden on the community or not to encourage them to take more captives. One may also not help the captives escape. The Gemara writes a story about escaped captives. Rav Nachman's daughters would stir boiling pots with their hands without being burned. Rav Elish was puzzled by their behavior, assuming that they must be righteous, but the pasuk in Kohelet says he could not find a righteous woman, even one in a thousand. He and they were later captured. He heard a raven call out to him, and a man who understands birds' language interpreted it as saying, Elish Baruch, Elish Baruch, Elish flee, Elish flee. Rav Elish did not trust the raven, but when he was told the same by a dove, to which Kohelet Yisrael is compared, he recognized it as a sign that he could escape miraculously. He went to check on Rav Nachman's daughters and heard them saying they preferred their captors as husbands over their previous husbands. After miraculously escaping, he concluded that their ability to stir boiling pots in their hands was through sorcery. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Ve'in lochin svarim tefillin mezuzas mina obdi kochavim yosu al kadeh demen. One may not buy sufei Torah, tefillin, or mezuzas from idolaters for more than their value, mifnei tikkun olam, for societal benefit, for either of the reasons we mentioned before. The Gemara infers that one may ransom them for their value, implying that they may be read from, but answers that it may mean to ransom them to put them away, since their status is unknown. Regarding a Sefer Torah of an idolater, Rav Nachman says that we have a tradition that if an idolater wrote a Sefer Torah, it's put away. If a Torah is found in his possession, some say it should be put away, but some say korimbo. We may read from it because of sfeik sfeik, a double suffix. A Jew may have written it, and even the idolater may have written it properly. Three opinions of Tanan are quoted about a Sefer Torah written by an idolater. The first is that it must be burned because the Tana holds that the assumed intent of the idolater is for idolatry. The second is that it must be put away because the Tana holds an idolater is not eligible to write a Sefer Torah. And the third opinion is that it's fit for use. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Gemara relates an incident where a slave once fled from his master who lived in Chutz Lartz to Eretz Yisrael. When the master came to bring him back, Rabbi Ami told him to free him and the slave would pay his value because he could not force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. This is based on a drasha of Rabbi Achim bar Rabbi Yoshe. The pasuk says, "Utasker eved el adonav asher yinatzel eilecha mi'im adonav." You shall not hand over a slave to his master, a slave who escapes to you from his master. After a brisa relates two Tanaim's interpretations, Rabbi Achim bar Rabbi Yoshe explains, "Be'evet shabark m'chutz l'aretz l'aretz akas medaber." The pasuk's discussing a slave who fled from chutz l'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, teaching not to return that slave to his master in chutz l'aretz. Another brisa records Rebbe's interpretation, "Be'okeach eved almanas l'shachar akas medaber." The pasuk speaks of one who purchases a slave on condition to free him and commands the buyer not to enslave him. The case is explained to the Kasev Echachi that the buyer wrote to him, "L'kasha'echacha hari atzmacha k'nilocha me'akshav." When I buy you, you are acquired to yourself from now. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ein ponis hashvuyin yasya kadeh demen. One cannot ransom captives for more than their value, b'nei tiguna olam, for societal benefit, either to avoid the financial burden on the community or not to encourage them to take more captives. One may also not help the captives escape. The Gemara writes a story about escaped captives. Rav Nachman's daughters would stir boiling pots with their hands without being burned. Rav Elish was puzzled by their behavior, assuming that they must be righteous, but the pasuk in Kohelet says he could not find a righteous woman, even one in a thousand. He and they were later captured. He heard a raven call out to him, and a man who understands birds' language interpreted it as saying, Elish Baruch, Elish Baruch, Elish flee, Elish flee. Rav Elish did not trust the raven, but when he was told the same by a dove, to which Kohelet Yisrael is compared, he recognized it as a sign that he could escape miraculously. He went to check on Rav Nachman's daughters and heard them saying they preferred their captors as husbands over their previous husbands. After miraculously escaping, he concluded that their ability to stir boiling pots in their hands was through sorcery. And pointing with you, the next mission states, Ve'en lochin svarim tefillin mezuzas mina obdi kochavim yosu al kadei demen. One may not buy sifrei Torah, tefillin, or mezuzas from idolaters for more than their value, mifnei tikno olam, for societal benefit, for either of the reasons we mentioned before. The Gemara infers that one may ransom them for their value, implying that they may be read from, but it answers that it may mean to ransom them to put them away, since their status is unknown. Regarding a Sefer Torah of an idolater, Rav Nachman says that we have a tradition that if an idolater wrote a Sefer Torah, it's put away. If a Torah is found in his possession, some say it should be put away, but some say korimbo. We may read from it because it's sveik sveika, a double suffix. A Jew may have written it, and even the idolater may have written it properly. Three opinions of Tanaim are quoted about a Sefer Torah written by an idolater. The first is that it must be burned because the Tana holds that the assumed intent of the idolater is for idolatry. The second is that it must be put away because the Tana holds an idolater is not eligible to write a Sefer Torah. And the third opinion is that it's fit for use. All right, so now we go to a Siman Daf Mem He, and our standard Siman is Monopoly. Monopoly. Ma-Napoli. Mem He. Monopoly. So here goes. The slave who ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands, and an idolater writing a Sefer Torah on top of a matching green Monopoly board. Once again, it's a motion. The slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board. Monopoly, that must be more on Daf Mem Hey. The slave who ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident where a slave once fled from his master who lived in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael. When the master came to bring him back, Rabbi Ami told him to free him and the slave would pay his value, because he could not force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. This is based on a drush Rabbi Achi bar Rabbi Yoshia, where the pasuk says, "L'tasker evet el adonav asher yinatzal lecha mi'imanonav." You shall not hand over a slave to his master, a slave who escapes you from his master. So the slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands. Which reminds the Mishnah states that one cannot ransom captives for more than their value because of Tikkun Olam, and the Gemara relates the story of Rav Elish discovering the Rav Nachman's daughters, who stirred boiling pots with their hands, were not righteous but were sorcerers. So the slave ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands, and an idolater writing a Sefer Torah on top of a matching green Monopoly board, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Bein lochin svarim tefillin mezuzas mina obdi kochavim yosu al kedei demen. One may not buy sifrei Torah, tefillin, or mezuzas from idolaters for more than their value, b'fnei tikkun olam, for societal benefit. Three opinions of Tanaim are quoted about using a Sefer Torah written by an idolater. So once again, the slave who ran away from his master in Chutzlarts to Eretz Yisrael, carrying his green Monopoly board, arrived at a deserted house where he discovered a captive rabbi with two captive sisters stirring boiling pots with their hands, and an idolater writing a Sefer Torah on top of a matching green Monopoly board. All right, so now it's time for four Balabach Chazara. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, grandma. That must be and Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma with the green hair who designated one of her slaves as an apotheke on a loan to buy some knitting needles and then freed him, which reminds us, the mission the previous daf taught that an evet whose master designated him as an apotheke as payment to another in case he would be unable to pay, and he freed him, by rights the slave has no obligations, but for tikkun olam the master is forced to free him, and the slave pays his value to the master. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the one who freed him pays his value, not the slave. Two different shatim for the machlokas are given. So the grandma with the green hair who designated one of her slaves as an apotheke on a loan to buy some knitting needles and then freed him, rebuked her two grandsons where one had freed his half of a slave and told them that the poor slave won't be able to marry a shivcha or a nice Jewish girl. Which reminds us, the next mission states, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, one who is half slave and half free man. Basil will say, Ovid is rabo yom echad v'ez atzmo yom echad. He works one day for his master and one day for himself. Beishamai object, dikantim is rabo v'ez atzmo litikantim. You have resolved his master's problem, but you have not resolved his own problem of being unable to marry, since he's forbidden to both a slave woman and a free woman. Basil ultimately retracted and ruled like Beishamai. So the grandma with the green hair who designated one of her slaves as an apotheke on a loan to buy some knitting needles and then freed him, rebuked her two grandsons where one had freed his half of his slave, and told them that the poor slave won't be able to marry a shivcha or a nice Jewish girl, and that her knitting partner said even one person freeing half his slave via money or get shichur is questionable. Which reminds us, it was taught to Bryce that if one frees half his eved, Rebbe says he acquires his freed half and becomes a half slave. But the Chachamim say it's ineffective and he remains a full slave. Rebbe says that they all agree that a slave can be partially freed through money based on a drasha. Their dispute concerns partial freeing through a get shichur, where this method of emancipation is compared to the other method of money, or is compared to a get of a woman which cannot operate partially. Rabbi Yosef explains that the Tanaim disagree about partial emancipation both regarding money and regarding a get shichur. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simur Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be more in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster in the green pinstripe suit who made the meaningless gesture of telling his two slaves that he gives them each half of his fortune, which reminds us of Bryce, which taught that one who writes his possessions over to his two slaves teaches that the slaves do not even acquire themselves, is where he said he gives half to each slave. So even if he gave to both simultaneously, he may have intended to give the same half to each slave, leaving each one's second half for himself. So the mobster in the green pinstripe suit who made the meaningless gesture of telling his two slaves that he gives them each half of his fortune was furious when his half-freed eved was gored by a bull on the day that he worked for himself, which reminds us, Gemara says, that if an ox gores a half-slave, if he was gored on a day that his work belongs to his master, damages are paid to his master. Yom shel atzmo la'atzmo. But if he was gored on the day that his work belongs to himself, the damages are paid to himself. Still, he cannot marry a slave woman on his master's day and a free woman on his day, because isur lo ka'amrinun. We cannot say his status changes daily regarding prohibition. Only monetary arrangements can be divided this way. So the mobster in the green pinstripe suit who made the meaningless gesture of telling his two slaves that he gives them each half of his fortune was furious when his half-freed eved was gored by a bull on the day that he worked for himself, and was told that he may not be able to collect kanas for the eved that he freed, but was awaiting a get shichur, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Mu'ukav get shichur, a slave who has been freed but needs a get shichur, yeshul kanas o ein lo kanas, does he have the law of kanas that if he's killed by someone's animal, the owner pays the master 30 shekel or not? Do we say that since the pasuk says the money is given la'adunav to his master, and this master who has no monetary ownership is not a true master, or do we say that since he still requires a get shichur, he is still called his master? Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simur Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine to see if a slave of his kanas writes to his slave was valid. Which reminds us, at the end of the previous daf, a question was asked, Evish Mechal Rabu Kanas, a slave whom the master sold only for rights to the kanas, which would be paid if he's killed by someone else's animal, is this sale valid? This question is expressed in the context of Mechokas Hanayim regarding whether Adam Makna Dabar Shalubo Olam, a person can transfer that which does not yet exist. So the master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine to see if a sale of his kanas rights to a slave was valid, sat next to his wife who was engrossed reading her Shaduchim for Slaves magazine with the cover picture of a half-slave being Makadosh, a free woman, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Misha chetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin, shikidash bas chorin mahu, one who is half-slave and half-free man, who is Makadosh, a free woman, what's the halacha, meaning is the marriage effective for his free half? The question is explained, even if we say about a free Yisro who said to a free woman, be married to half of me, that the marriage is valid, that may be dechazil kule, because she's fit for all of them, meaning a full marriage, but perhaps a half-slave who's incapable of a full marriage cannot perform a half-marriage either. On the other hand, even if we say that kedushin of a free man who says, be married to half of me, is not valid, that may be the shayer b'kinyano, because he left out part of his acquisition by not making complete kedushin. But with a half-slave whose entire freed half is marrying her, the kedushin could be effective. So the master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine to see if a sale of his kanas rights to a slave was valid, sat next to his wife who was engrossed reading her Shaduchim for Slaves magazine with the cover picture of a half-slave being Makadosh, a free woman, which included a fascinating interview with a half-slave woman who married someone and then married someone else after being freed. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what is the din if a half-slave woman marries someone, then becomes fully freed, and then marries someone else. Daf Mem Dalad, so the Simur Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The muddy slave mud, that must be one Daf Mem Dalad. The muddy slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis taught that one who sells a slave to an idolater must buy him back and set him free. A braisa here states that if an idolater forcibly collected the slave for his debt, or an extortionist took him, well, yatzel cheres, he does not go free since he was not willingly sold. So the money slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Asi, Machra Abdu B'meis, one who sold a slave to an idolater and then died, Maushi Yiknesu as Beno Acharav, what's the halacha regarding penalizing a son who inherits the estate to require him to buy back the slave? So the money slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died. From shock when he found out, he'd have to refund the money from the muddy field he sold during Yovel, which reminds us, one who sells his field during Yovel itself, during which fields previously sold are returned to the original owners, Shmuel ruled that the sale is not valid and he must refund the money. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which daf do we discuss what the halacha is if a chetzi eved chetzi ben chorin is mekadesh a free woman? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number two. Which daf do we discuss what to do in a case of a sefer Torah written by an idolater or found in his possession? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number three. Which daf do we learn an eved forcibly taken by an idolater as collection on a debt is not bought back and set free? That's on daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number four. Which of them, one writes his possessions over to his two slaves, where he gives half to each slave, the slaves do not even acquire themselves? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number five. Which daf do you discuss if a master's sale of his rights to his slaves kanas is valid? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number six. Which daf do you discuss ransoming captives or helping them escape and the story of Elish and Rav Nachman's daughters? That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number seven. Which of you discuss one who sold a slave to an idolater and then died, what the halacha is regarding penalizing a son? That's on daf. Mem Dalet. Good. Number eight. Which of you discuss what the halacha is if a slave runs away from his master in Chutz Lartz to Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf. Mem Hey. Good. Number nine. Which of you in the purchase money is refunded for land sold during Yovel? That's on daf. Mem Dalet. Good. And number 10. Which of the learned about activities which prove that a slave has been freed, such as marrying a free woman or wearing tefillin? That's on daf. Mem. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar Mizuch, wishing you a great day and great learning.